I'm going to go ahead and start with our two readings for today, one from the Hebrew Bible, and then one that's a more secular reading. The first reading comes from Proverbs chapter 18, verses 2 and 4, and then continuing with 15. It says, "A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. When wickedness comes, contempt also comes also, and with dishonor comes grace. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The fountain of wisdom is a bubbling brook. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." We add blessing, understanding the reading of those words. But I also want to share a short quote from American scientist and author Sylvia Earle, who has this to say: "The best scientists and explorers have the attributes of kids. They ask questions and they have a sense of wonder. They have curiosity. Who, what, where, why, when, how? They never stop asking questions." And she says, "And I never stop asking questions, just like a 5-year-old.
Thank you.
So, as you know, I was off all this week on vacation. You might ask yourself, well, if you were off all this week, how did you write a sermon? That would be a great question. The answer is I didn't. I went back about 4 or 5 years and found a sermon that I thought would be worth reworking. So I really did put some time in on it. But the reason I wanted to come back to it is because our study group has been looking at a book about living the questions. And I had talked about it about 4 or 5 years ago. And so today I'd like to share with you a reworked message entitled Ask More Questions. Most conservatives and mainline churches don't like to talk about it a lot. But the reality is that churches have done lots of damage to lots of lives for a long time. The list of damages is long, and frankly, that's probably true not just for churches, but for most institutions in general. It's hard to gain sort of this large footprint and manage not to step on people as you attempt to move forward. It's hard. It's not really excusable, and there's always room for improvement. I think that one of the more quietly damaging things the institutionalized church has done over the years is to teach us that asking questions is bad, or at least asking investigative questions is bad. I mean, sure, feel free to ask the minister what a particular story means. Ask that question, but it's practically treated as blasphemy to ask why it couldn't mean something other than what the minister thinks. As a matter of fact, the institutionalized church has a long history of telling us not to ask too many questions. We are told to trust in traditional translations. We are told to learn and repeat the confessions, even if we don't agree with what they are saying. Doing otherwise is dangerous. Doing otherwise shows a lack of faith, or at least we are told so. It's one of the reasons why I actually try to minimize my use of the word faith. Colloquially, it's become the near equivalent to blind belief. Faith, blind belief. And blind belief, that's just churchy language for I want to believe what I want to believe. Personally, I have no use for that kind of thinking, or should I say lack of thinking. That kind of lack of thinking leads to gullibility and a spiritually shallow life. It has nothing substantial to stand on and falls down time and time again when it is put to the challenge of life and what spirituality looks like in tough times. It cannot sustain you, and it certainly cannot grow you spiritually. It just leaves you stuck in the quagmire that someone else created in order to control you and your perspective. Or as St. Thomas of Aquinas said, clearly, the person who accepts the church as an infallible guide will believe whatever the church teaches. Personally, I remember the old Chinese proverb that says, he who asks a question is thought a fool for 5 minutes. He who does not ask a question remains a fool forever. We should want to ask questions to grow our faith. We should be innovative in our thinking rather than traditional. That is not to say that we should ignore the traditional thinking. Frequently, it is an excellent place to start. But we should not get stuck in a space and a place that uses antiquated thinking, antiquated information, antiquated tools to arrive at its conclusions. To grow, we must be innovative. To be innovative, we must ask questions. That's what helps us develop in and advance our spirituality. It's interesting to consider that the one group who probably shares with the world's leading innovators a willingness to question everything is, as we heard earlier, children. They learn through asking questions. Frankly, it is the simplest and most effective way of learning. Author Warren Berger, in his book, A More Beautiful Question, says that children from ages 2 to 5, as they age from 2 to 5, ask roughly 40,000 questions. And if you've ever had kids, you know that's maybe a low estimate there. Unfortunately, for most of us, as we progress through school and grow into adulthood, the number of questions we ask drops dramatically. It would seem that as we get older, we somehow forget this oh-so-important lesson of asking questions. And sometimes, sadly, it's even, frankly, taught out of us. From standard school curriculum to the blind faith of institutionalized churches, we are typically encouraged to memorize and regurgitate someone else's knowledge rather than develop our own. We learn answers rather than how to ask good questions. Here's the thing. Not asking good or even enough questions has a direct impact on the quality of choices that we make. And not making good choices in our spiritual lives is not just unfortunate, it can impact the help with which we move through life with. Learning and practicing the art, I mean art, of asking questions helps us gain deep insight, develop more innovative solutions, and arrive at better decision-making. Spirituality attempts to help us understand who we are and what we are to be within this grand experiment that we call life. It attempts to lead us into being our best selves, to guide us in making the most positive impact that we can at every moment of our lives, to be the best role we can play, to play the best role we can play in making the lives of others and creation better, to recognize our universal connectedness, to capture glimpses of this thing that we call God. I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of beautiful. And if I stop to think about it, it can also sound pretty overwhelming. I mean, that's a massive undertaking. There's simply no way I can do that as well as I'd like to do with what I know now. Which is where asking the questions comes in. The brilliant thinkers of the world will tell you that much more frequently than starting with the known answers, it is in asking the right questions, and frequently they are simple questions. It is in asking the right questions that almost always starts the process that leads to the biggest breakthroughs. If we want real breakthroughs in our lives, professionally or spiritually, we need to learn to embrace some uncertainty if we hoped for creative answers to emerge. I mean, isn't life itself one of the most amazing creative processes you have ever participated in? So, what if discovering and living out your purpose has much less to do with defining what that's going to look like, much more to do with letting the creative process emerge? seems to me the most natural creative works happen that way. Part of our job is to create a nurturing environment for it, then allow the divine mystery to express itself. One of the challenges of the modern church is the reality that the roots of most religions are in providing answers. For example, we have creation stories because people in the pre-scientific age wanted to know where we came from. So religion provided the answers. In our scientific age, we have to begin looking at the other truths that these sacred texts provide and be willing to ask questions of and about them. And not only that, we must begin with considering the importance of our modern experience as a paradigm shift away from answers rooted in the past and towards questions rooted not only in the present but also in the future. Being rooted in questions, that actually acknowledges our ultimate inability to prove God. It opens us up to blooms of creative, spiritual insight and innovation. It frees us from the oppressive need to be right and opens us to the experience of just being. And not only that, but in knowing that we do not have all of the answers, it should also open us to the possibility that others may have perspectives that could help us, whether they come from a different belief tradition or no belief tradition at all. It should open us up to dialogues we may have otherwise avoided. Dialogue that may grow us in ways that we could have never dreamed of. It might also open us up to the reality that no one way of growing is the right way of growing. That we are all growing in the same garden, the same soil, being nourished by the same earth, but growing in a way that is best for us. I will conclude with something that Austrian poet and novelist Rainer Maria Rilke once said. Be patient towards all that is unsolved in your heart and try to love the questions themselves. Try to love the questions themselves. Like locked rooms and like books that are now written in a very foreign tongue, do not now seek the answers which cannot be given to you because you would not be able to live them. And the point is to live everything. Live the questions now. Perhaps you will then gradually, without noticing it, live along some distant day into the answer.
when there are seasons to laugh and to cry, I struggle with the season when you lived and you died. It's hard to play this game because the rules, they don't seem fair. If you care, God, if you're still there, bombs falling in Syria, the child dying of AIDS, fighting round the world, the daddy lost his girl. Still, we kneel and pray, but heaven can't feel silent when the poor beneath gets cold. When your soul refuses to let go. But wait, tell me, am I too late? What happens when the healing never comes? Do we stand and curse the heavens, or lift our hand and feel the sun? The mystery sun clears once your voice I love to hear. What happens when the healing never comes? I know where he loves the seasons, like summer and the spring, but I've been stuck in winter since the fall of misery. One day I'm full of anger, and the next I'm full of fear. Every year there's a new supply of tears. But wait, tell me, am I too late? Is there a chance for me to believe we could dance together soon? There's a billion galaxies, I'll count each one till I'm with you. They say where you are is better, but I want you here for me. Oh, this is for a purpose, but hurt won't let me see. So now I must be silent. Your voice is in the winds. The hands that made the heavens will heal the storm within. I have so many questions. I don't know where to begin. Since you were there at the beginning, you already know the end. What happens when my healing never comes? Do we stand and curse the heavens with the hands and feel the sun? The mystery is not clear. Just once your voice has left. What happens when the healing? What happens when the healing? What happens when the healing never comes?
Questions, sometimes it's hard to put talking about it, you can't put the heart in it quite the way that it needs. Thank you for bringing me. Very much. Let's take some time to turn inward as we bow our heads together. Receive it as a prayer, as a meditation, or just as you need. We want a deeper faith, but because of what we were taught in our early spiritual years, we are also sometimes worried to ask too many questions, to have it seem too much like we are uncertain. May we learn to hold on to a love that is so unquenchable, it is willing to ask questions of faith, even in places others feel fear to tread. Let it serve as an example and as a reminder of not only how we understand our faith, but how we put it into practice. When we see a world full of food and yet also full of starving people, may it lead us to ask the difficult questions and to insist on better solutions. When we see a world full of empty houses and yet also full of homeless people, may it lead us to ask the difficult questions and to insist on better solutions. When we see a world full of sickness and yet full of medical solutions, may it lead us to ask the difficult questions and insist on better solutions. When we see a world full of pain and grief and full of people of many faiths whose core and foundational beliefs are love and compassion, may it lead us to ask the difficult questions and to insist on better solutions. May we never shy away from asking the important questions and holding loosely onto the things we believe we know. Amen. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, knowing that we are one. And may you have love and happiness throughout your life, and may your words and actions bring that love and happiness to all of those you meet.